This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Friday, 23rd of April, 2021. Very interesting set of developments overnight, late yesterday in the U.S., with President Biden out proposing a 39.6% capital gains tax. That would be a near doubling of the previous rate, would actually send the overall rate to above 40% if you include the Obamacare tax in existence already. Obviously spooking stocks. I'm actually surprised it didn't spook stocks a bit worse on a news item like this. And a bit interesting, we've talked a little bit about momentum indicators, et cetera, on U.S. equities, and the NASDAQ 100 has been the weaker of the major indices. We're seeing the MACD starting to turn around with yesterday's declines. You can see that on slide two in today's slide deck. But we also had Biden out, and this is really shocking if they think they're going to achieve this. This target of reducing U.S. carbon CO2 emissions by 50% in the space of 9 years. We're getting less than 9 years now, by 2030. So really ambitious goals here being put up as there was an international climate conference. So yeah, a bit of a mixed bag there in terms of some of the the effects on underlying equities. Peter, there was some boost to climate related stuff because of that announcement, but then of course capital gains is not a higher capital gains tax is not friendly for asset prices.
No, exactly, and you see that very clearly here on slide three. Euro stocks 50 futures erasing all the losses that happened on that ugly Tuesday this week, but we failed to erase them completely. And the whole Biden proposal on the capital gains tax have made equities a little bit wobbly here this morning. And we are opening lower European equities this morning. And it looks technically quite weak. At least momentum have stopped for now. I think if we break below yesterday's low, which is I believe is at 39.42 on the Euro Stoxx 50 futures, then we could see a meaningful sell-off into the weekend. And as you said, John, it's if you look at the small insert on slide three, there was a pretty wide divergence yesterday in the market. So green transportation and our battery basket, those two baskets were up the most, and that was because of the big push on climate. And I think that will be sort of what we have to get used to on green stocks, back and forth all the time, and a lot of policy initiatives. And then you had crypto on the back foot, our basket down almost 6%. This is very ugly, but we'll talk more about that later in the podcast. Then you had the mega caps on the flip side as well, down almost 1.5%. Capital gain tax, also the antitrust, I think, which is probably the most important for mega caps. That's the antitrust angle that you mentioned yesterday, John. Very, very interesting developments right there. And we'll follow that more closely. And then capital gain taxes. I've put it in here on slide four. I'll write a little bit about it on analysis.saxo today. But just for certain perspectives here, you can see that the rich in the US, obviously they're getting the majority of their total income from capital gains. And it's taxed at 20% versus almost 40% on labor income. And we've been saying, I would say maybe almost for years, or at least we've been saying repeatedly that there will be a favor because of social unrest and inequality, there will be a favor of labor policies over capital markets policies. So it's an unwind of that policy shift that happened during the 1980s with academia, you know, Milton Friedman, Reagan. I know you have some perspectives as well, Jenny, can chip in a few seconds. But basically, Biden is proposing to basically equalize capital gains and ordinary income tax. And as you can see as well on the chart in the upper right-hand corner of slide four, it will basically take capital gain taxes back to the tax rate had in the 70s, basically.
Yeah, I mean, this is, we're putting this in perspective, this is multi-decadal stuff here. I mean, of course, we have this huge stimulus approach that's already in the bag with cash splash through the economy related to the pandemic response. But these types of proposals really are something that you have to look back to, putting back into place things that were unwound during the Reagan administration. A good 40 years ago. So this is a really critical stuff as we head into the midterms. Is this attempt to get back a bigger role and using the government to iron out these inequalities, is it going to succeed or will it be rejected by the very slim majority in the Senate or by the population at large in the midterm elections. Really critical stuff. This combined with that corporate tax proposal, I think really is going to define whether Biden has a legacy and achieving this massive shift. And just overall, I mean, if we're talking about this rolling forward and, you know, becoming the law of the land, you have to imagine it's a medium to long-term headwind of a major proportions for asset prices. Let's jump over to you, Ole. You're waiting patiently on the call. We've got oil not really getting any headlines here, but once again, we still need to highlight food prices. They're galloping higher again. Take us through the latest there, and then as well, linking in the climate, you've got some perspectives on this whole carbon emissions trading and carbon prices.
Yeah, I think for those who still believe that inflation potentially is going to be transitory, I think we just take a look at slide 7. We are seeing multi-year highs now in all three major food crops: corn, soybeans, and wheat. The annual year-on-year rise in the agricultural sector as a whole, which includes soft and livestock, is now running close to 70% annualized. And you can see the month-to-date gains has really been driven by the grains sector, and it is increasing. Worries about tightness in the market. We've seen a Chinese demand basis of price to the upside. They're already now starting to put in orders for delivery of corn that's going to be harvested this autumn from the U.S. At the same time, we got some record frost condition in the U.S., so the weather is really playing up, and that, I think, has been the main, together with Chinese demand, been the main change over the past year. So now we've got worries about the delayed planting process. We've got winter wheat, which is potentially getting damaged. So so that's why we're firing on all grain cylinders right now, and the risk is clearly that the market is going to run low on stocks as we get into the next winter. And staying with prices going up, another one that's really been on a tear has been the European carbon emission contract. We have set new record highs every day this past week. Peaked yesterday at 47.3 euros per ton. We're trading a little bit lower this morning. But part of that, it's a double-edged one, because we got stricter EU emission regulations being agreed to. We had the summit that you mentioned in the global summit led by the US yesterday, and obviously when we see a chart here on slide 8 where we got such a strong momentum, it's basically kicked off like many other commodities back in November last year when vaccine news and Biden won the election in the US. Since then, we've just seen very, very strong momentum, and that is attracting also a lot of speculative interest. So insiders within the market, power generators, so they're starting to complain quite vocally, because the prices, current price levels, are not kind of reflecting the regulations that's been implemented so far. So quite a bit of this is speculation, but that will obviously continue as long as the charts tell them it's going up. And the impact of this is basically power price in Europe will go up, and they are going up. I just put in a chart which is showing the peak power price for the whole calendar 22, and you can see there's a very, very strong correlation between the emission contract and the cost of power in the future.
Rising inflation is some good evidence there for sure. Reverting back to the FX space very briefly, ECB meeting yesterday was really the non-event that many were expecting. President Lagarde doing her utmost to I'm forgetting the expression to not let anything through in terms of guidance at all, stonewalling on any sort of guidance and any reduction in PEPP purchases. And regardless of the question, the message was, look, we're going to wait, and at least wait until that June set of forecasts that are out at the June meeting. And the indication being that this whole strategy review will actually be pushed out and won't be available till, quote, the fall. Interesting there, because really any major ECB initiative from these maximum support levels, maximum accommodation levels, likely requires a political mandate. And that political mandate is really only going to be effective from the national leadership, the national political leadership. And of course, there we have the German election in late September. So that's a very interesting set of circumstances there. But ECB, no change. Eurotriad was trying to get a bit excited yesterday and was sort of pushed back lower, and now for whatever reason it's attempting to rally a bit. Not really the big news. A bigger news in emerging markets yesterday, and that was with Russia pulling its so-called military exercise, de-escalating that and moving troops away from the Ukrainian border, saw a big reduction in the geopolitical discount on the ruble. You can see that on slide 5. And this is putting it back towards that interesting 75 level, sort of the mid-range, the 200-day moving average area. You can see there on the upper dotted line, or the one just below the current price action. And we have a rate meeting today looking for a message of a new rate hike of 25 basis points and a few rate hikes in the pipeline. Could see a recovery in the Russian ruble, provided risk sentiment is generally stable. And of course, oil prices as well. Interesting geopolitical reduction or reduction of that discount there. And then on the overall trend overlook, and you know, what are we reaching some crossroads? Technically, I would pull out dollar yen here, which exactly tested or within a pip, if you will, the 38.2% retracement of the entire rally wave since the very beginning, those lows from the very beginning of this year. And you can see as well, a lot of Japanese technical analysts like this Ichimoku overview with the cloud, this is sort of the shaded area you can see on slide 6, at the top of that cloud coming into view. There's a lot of support. It's a very wide cloud, if you will. So crossroads in any case, and that would mean, if it is to go lower here, it would likely have to be because U.S. Treasury yields are also going lower at the long end of the curve. And we're getting close to some pretty key round levels, like 1.5% on the 10-year benchmark, etc. But across the board in FX, very weak signals in general here, and we're waiting for new developments, especially I think in U.S. Treasury yields. And something like the Canadian dollar trying to get excited. It's a big move, but the rates haven't moved really at all. Sort of the closer into the middle part of the Canadian yield curve relative to, for example, US rates. So how much can you really extract out of that? You could get more out of it if we saw oil marching to new highs suddenly, et cetera. But I think the FX is really struggling a bit for themes here. All right, let's get back to the crypto space. You've put up a Bitcoin slide, Peter, or at least one of the ETFs. If we look at where support is, just from a technical perspective on Bitcoin, we had a $43,000-ish low that was posted after the Bitcoin price finally broke that $42,000. So I would say $42,000 to $43,000, ultimately psychologically $40,000 is going to be a key support here. It looked to me price action-wise, timing-wise, and when a lot of the selling kicked into gear, that it was this capital gains tax announcement that was sort of kicked off the selling. And even something like Ethereum, which had posted a high, all-time high yesterday, and even late yesterday, tumbled something like on the order of 20% on the news. So of course, this is going to feed into some pretty interesting areas in the speculative corners of the equity market, as well as you're pointing out here, Peter.
I think that the big irony of all of this is that Cathie Wood, the founder of ARK Invest that we have been talking about for a couple of months ago. I think it was quite interesting that her take on cryptocurrency, which all her funds are basically, they long Coinbase, they long Square, they long Tesla, they all part of this growing cryptocurrency ecosystem. She's a big believer of that. And her main thesis is that, you know, it's the only way to protect your wealth in an information age against governments. And thus it is quite funny to see Bitcoin actually tumbling on the potential increase in capital gains tax, because if it was such a wonderful hedge, it would actually have gone up. So, but with that little comment there, I agree with John. You know, technically, the picture looks very weak. You had MicroStrategy, which was one of the stocks in our crypto basket. It's an investment firm, or at least they try to pretend that they, you know, they do a lot of things within the crypto, but essentially all of their value is tied to the moves in the Bitcoin, because they have a very significant holding. And MicroStrategy is down 50% from its peak in February. You have Dogecoin down 50% in just 3 days. You have Bitcoin down 25% now in drawdown, you know, in basically a bear market territory here. And I just want to point out with all of this that, you know, watch Tesla and Square and ARK Invest funds today and maybe also next week, because it's part of that risk cluster. So if you have exposure to that, now I said it, don't be surprised if there are hits to these positions in this risk cluster. And then finally, just want to point out that, you know, there's this ever-growing focus on Bitcoin and its electricity consumption. We, John, have mentioned that a couple of times as well. And with the big push on green and climate, I'm absolutely getting more convinced that governments will clamp down on cryptocurrency via the green angle, because it gives them the good PR story for clamping down on something that could be accused of being an attack on free market and, you know, the free will of the people. But according to Cathie Wood, actually Bitcoin mining is good for the environment because crypto mining, so she says, instead, crypto mining, energy storage, and AI technologies, whatever that is, when it converges, will then the adoption of renewable energy is likely to accelerate. That's a very interesting take, to say at least. We have promised to put Mass, our crypto analyst, on the call. We should actually have it, because now we're down 25% in Bitcoin. I think we should try to get Mass on the call actually next week. We need to get a different perspective than my perspective right now here in crypto, for sure. So we'll get Mass on the call. That will be a very exciting conversation, because obviously there are also benefits of cryptocurrencies. So it's not only a negative spiel here. In terms of earnings, we have Daimler out this morning with very strong Q1 earnings. They're lifting their guidance, also of profit margins, and they are really accelerating their expansion on the electric vehicle lineup they have there. And they're going to spin off the Daimler truck business, I think partly to finance this very costly expansion into electric vehicles. But this is just another sign that, you know, the Germans, they're really coming after Tesla now. And then later today, we have American Express. And I'm hinting here that maybe there could be a disappointment for this company, because Jamie Dimon, we saw that from both from Bank of America, but also JP Morgan Chase, that the consumer loans and credit card is very, very slow. And I expect that to hit American Express as well. So we'll see how that pans out today.
Yeah, and then on the macro calendar, it really gets interesting into next week. Today we have that Russian Central Bank announcement, as mentioned, those Eurozone flash PMIs, which start to get more interesting. Well, it's on the services side, you know, maybe this month or for this month, but really more May, June, as a bit more opening up is happening elsewhere. But if we look at next week's calendar, very interesting. We have the FOMC meeting on Wednesday. Certainly worth pointing out there. Bank of Japan Tuesday, Riksbank on Tuesday as well. And just a number of data items as well. The first GDP estimates, and that contrast between Europe, where we're seeing France estimated down, I believe it was minus 1.4% is the consensus expectations. And that's quarter on quarter. And then you're looking at a GDP estimate from the US up on Thursday, where it is expected an annualized 6%+. So clearly a difference there, but we all know Europe is coming on board in coming months. So that's not necessarily going to be a huge surprise. Also, these first April CPI figures out of Europe, both Germany on Thursday and Eurozone on Friday, and the PCE inflation, the last before we really start to get the interesting year-on-year comparisons with the April data cycle in the US. So that's a March PCE inflation data on Friday. But with that, we're going to call it a day. Let's see what happens if the market continues to absorb this capital gains tax news, or is able actually to climb the wall of worry today. It'd be a very interesting session, I think, after a mini shock yesterday, especially also in the very speculative crypto space. So stay careful out there. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back next week with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call, or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.